And who knows what is next beyond HAARP. Obviously, we have the chemtrails, and there's probably plenty of things out there that we're not aware of. So I'm supposed to remind you of was a K-Bono?
Oh, yeah. Well, K-Bono's who benefits. Well, of course, you're talking about the Bushes, the Clantons, or Clintons, as we like to call them, the Soroses, the Rockefellers, the Geithners, the Aga Khans, these global elites of the Council of 300, the Council of the Cosmic Council of Nine, posed as the otherworldly leaders, whoever they are, and we don't know, and so we can only presume that they're some of the highest level of global terrorists that there are on the planet, who have self-deemed themselves the leaders. That's the K-Bono. And, of course, the benefit is they get to globally demonize the rest of us and to basically steal all the wealth. This is so insidious, this multi-level thing. You talk about the microwave effects and the psychological modification, alteration, mind control, and these other things, voice to school, skull technology. Well, the smart meter system, the cell towers in your neighborhood, these other means of transmitting electrical RFI or microwaves throughout the place. Whenever you aspirate, inhale, take in breathing or eating or drinking that has these nanoparticulate dust microparticles in them, then you infuse them into the cellular structure and your organs and your body and your brain. This becomes a very dangerous concept because if most of us may have seen in our youth or recall what happens when you put a fork or a piece of metal or tinfoil into a microwave, it ain't pretty. Arcing and sparking occurs. Well, you are now the receiver for those radio waves, and they may have a deleterious or dangerous effect on your brain, organs, or body, or be able to alter your thinking processes, fundamentally change your belief systems, make you totally submissive, subjective, or a blithering idiot, or a zombie, blood-sucking
Peter
vampire, Hill? If they want to. Yeah.
Just kidding, Peter Thiel. I know you're a libertarian. You can drink blood if you want.
Yeah, Peter Thiel, yeah. Bathing in blood, yeah. Drinking blood. That's a pretty high aspiration, isn't it?
That sounds normal to me, right?
Well, and of course, they'll preserve. See, this is a really intriguing concept that goes back to ancient cults when they believed that eating the hearts or the blood of their enemy would give them the strength, the abilities, the intelligence of the creature that they ate and give them their basically tendencies that they could adopt their own. That's where these concepts of man and beast come in, as this hybridization. And this is technically being carried out now in the genetic modification world and the assimilation of AI, advanced intelligence, and genetic modifications, and the brain project.
Well, there's something to that. I know that I've heard when people, let's say, have heart transplants, that they start to have memories of the person's heart that they put in their body. So if you consume somebody's heart, who's to say that some of that DNA, obviously things you eat, is absorbed? So part of that human DNA or that power or the spirit or whatever it is you believe, you know, you could actually absorb some of that, those memories and things through the DNA. I've heard people be picking up drinking when they've never drank before in their life when they'd had transplants. There's been people who have, you know, had memories and dreams of loved ones, like they've known them their whole life when they visited, you know, the donor's parents and families to say thank you. There's tons of these cases out there. But real quick, in the last 7 minutes, I want to go over headlines with you and get your thoughts on these. We're gonna go through these, but again, AmericanIntelligenceReport.com, but drone reports to UK police soar 352% in a year amid urgent calls for regulation. And, of course, you're going to have drones in the sky, and people are going to complain about it. And, you know, I saw that one coming. I'm sure you did, too. Here's one from NBC. GPS under attack as crooks, rogue workers wage electronic war. I guess they're worried about people shutting off GPS systems. And what would people do, Chris, if they didn't have a GPS?
Well, Cristante, the obvious thing is a control mechanism. They want to eliminate the people, private people, to have access to the technology, so only the government has the ability to track you, to hunt you down by the dime size on the planet anywhere for elimination by drone weaponization or space weapons or energy weapons or whatever type of technology they want to apply to obliterate you from the planet, specifically because you're a threat to their existence, never mind whether they're left-wing terrorists, right-wing terrorists, global jihadists, or just black demoniacs.
Well, here's the first I saw coming, too. London woman dies in possibly the first drone-related accidental death. You're going to see this happen. You're going to see drones delivering stuff, crashing and killing people. Undoubtedly, that's the UK Independent that's out there. Here's one that I keep plugging this one, Chris, and I don't know if you've heard this.
Question. Who is the UK Independent on or to?
It's for London. It's an independent news outlet out there.
That's, I know where they're at. Yeah. Go ahead.
But what I was going to – I forgot. Where was I going? Something that I've noticed in the news that has been growing a lot lately is exorcisms. I don't know why, but the Catholic Church is pushing new exorcist courses. The exorcist producers consulted the Catholic Church and were met with a stony silence. You know, there's people out there on Drudge Report. I'm always seeing people being possessed by demons. And, you know – I just wanted to point out that there's some bizarre things going out there. Maybe people are going mentally nuts. There's more to it. Maybe they're on drugs or prescriptions. Maybe there's a legitimate thing going on with spiritual warfare. Maybe there's a dark spiritual war going on right now in the United States and for the soul of this global world, because God help us if the global government ever gets in place. So.
Perhaps those who are promoting the agenda want us to be live that there is an escalating violence, when in fact there is an escalating violence, but it's being perpetrated by the demoniacs that run government to give the illusion that we're in biblical times. But it may, in fact, the Creator is so smart that he might convert their diabolical plots to his own interest, and it surely appears that we are in the revelations area of the end of times. In the spirit of these times, there is an exponential rise of demoniacs and evil on the planet.
Well, speaking of unleashing evil on the planet, in the news, in the news today, the FDA just greenlit releasing mutant Zika-killing mosquitoes in Florida. So we're going to put genetically engineered bugs out there, and those are allegedly going to kill Zika. I don't think this is a good idea. We don't know what these mosquitoes, these genetically engineered mosquitoes, will become. What happens if all of a sudden they start building giant mosquitoes or whatever? Maybe they cause even more disease and they mutate to spread the Zika virus. How about that? Wouldn't that be terrifying? I think this is a bad idea all around. And how long will it be before mosquitoes just vaccinate people? They're going to go ahead and they're going to bite you, and then you're going to get that vaccination. That's where the
home troopers. The bugs are going to get us, because the bugs are being nano-engineered and environmentally weaponized to do exactly that. There are a lot of ways to kill people, and it's amusing for the evil ones, so they can come up with a whole myriad, a cornucopia, if you will, of ways to wipe us off the planet and get to that Agenda 21 level of reducing the population by 66%.
Yep, and in the meantime, people are going to be literally busy having sex with their having virtual sex with all the biggest idols and stars that they've ever wanted to have sex with.
Oh, robot.
Yep, well, now, yep, virtual reality. You'll be able to have sex with that celebrity. Like I mentioned in the program, you're going to just put on the goggles, and maybe your ugly girlfriend or the person you took home that you shouldn't have will look like Pamela Anderson or Topanga, you know, whatever her name is now. She's gorgeous. From Boy Meets World, whatever. I can't remember her name. But the idea here is they're going to keep people interested and obviously preoccupied with this whole hyper-sexualized culture that we're going to live in. But I wanted to let you guys know that that's out there. Robots now giving 401k advice. And that about wraps it up for today's edition and show of American Intelligence Report. Chris from Vegas, I have to say thank you for joining me today. It's a pleasure to have you on the show. For the listeners out there, Truth Frequency Radio, 90.7 FM, 97.3, Eugene, Oregon. Tune in Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. Central Standard Time. Facebook Live, find us on Facebook, American Intelligence Report. Also, don't forget, you guys can contribute towards our store launch here by donating $10. $10 will give you a handful of bumper stickers for you to tell your friends to tune into the American Intelligence Report so you can have intelligent conversations like this one that Chris and I had today. And I think it's important that you guys get out there, contribute in any way possible. If you write articles, if you can make American Intelligence Report graphics, I'm always looking for people to donate stuff and cool information. If you make videos, get a hold of me. Again, that's showtips@AmericanIntelligenceReport.com. And you can also contribute by subscribing to Truth Frequency Radio, which will get me, Brooks Agnew, Popeye, Joe Joseph, Chris Geo, and a bunch of other great broadcasters. And you can download all my past podcasts. You just go to AmericanIntelligenceReport.com, click on the banner that says Truth Frequency Radio. Also, there's a bumper sticker banner on the website if you don't want to go to Facebook. Again, Chris, great guest. You guys, see tomorrow. Stay bad time. Stay bad. Have a good day.
God bless America and save the Republic.
Right? We'll need all the help we can get. We could definitely use God. That would be
indeed.
That.
The one true living God.
Truth Frequency Radio is your number one source for news and information without the hate, hype, and fear. We are proud to bring you cutting-edge programs like Real Politics with Professor James Tracy, Radio Ranch with Robert Sales, Agent for Truth with Joe Bannister, Enemy Within Radio with Tom Barr, Strange World with Mark Sargent, The Covert Report with Susan Lindauer, Revolutionary Radio with Rob Skiba, and dozens more. Did you know you can listen from any computer, mobile device, or from any telephone by dialing 832-225-5308. Or call into your favorite show toll-free at 866-37-TRUTH. Uncensored talk and news you won't hear in the mainstream media. 24 hours a day. Truth Frequency Radio. We are TFR. Your protection from deception.
U.S. and Russia in Syria, storm impact. I'm Chaz Henry. President Obama says the U.S. and Russia have not given up on negotiations that could stem the bloodshed in Syria. Correspondent Scott Carr tells us Mr. Obama discussed the issue with Russian President Vladimir Putin today during a sideline conversation at the G20 summit in China.
The source says the leaders discussed a plan that would forge an unlikely military partnership between the U.S. and Russia against extremist groups operating in Syria, clarified some remaining gaps on how to implement a ceasefire, and directed their teams to meet again, possibly as soon as later this week.
Labor Day vacationers along the New Jersey shore could see winds of tropical storm strength today. Meteorologist Chad Myers on effects of the storm that arrived in Florida last week as Hurricane Hermine and is now impacting the mid-Atlantic coast, even though it's hundreds of miles out in the Atlantic.
The waves are high right on shore. The tides are about a foot and a half to 2 feet above where they should be, and it's still forecast to get a little bit closer.
Possibly even stronger. I'm Chaz Henry. North Korea today fired three ballistic missiles from a launch site in the western part of that country. Correspondent Paula Hancock tells us they flew across North Korea, splashing into waters off the nation's east coast.
Seoul's Joint Chiefs of Staff say that they believe that these missiles flew about 1,000 kilometers. They say that they assume that they were Rodong mid-range missiles and that they actually were fired into Japan's air defense identification zone.
In a West African nation that was last year declared polio-free, there's word of a third new case of the disease. Rotary Club says the World Health Organization is confirming a third polio case in Nigeria. The discoveries indicate Nigeria can't win its war on polio until it resolves an insurgency by extremists who violently oppose Western medicine. And Bill Cosby could learn the date of his felony sexual assault trial when he returns to court near Philadelphia tomorrow. A 79-year-old entertainer accused of drugging and molesting a woman he mentored at Temple University. I'm Chaz Henry.
Make it TFR. Truth Frequency Radio.
And right there is where we always start. Today will be no exception. It's the 5th of September. The laboring class is not laboring today, but we are. And we're going to labor with a show. And because in the rest of the world, they celebrate Communist Day on May 1st. The U.S. has got May 1st and Labor Day. So, you know, that kind of tells you something right there. I'm going to have Clint Richardson with us today. As we promoted last week. And I want to say that Clint and I have never spoken until just a minute ago, right before the show, straightening out some technical problems. And so I'm really anxious to hear what Clint has to say. I've heard about your work and a little bit of your background and stuff. But, you know, I wanted to say, because people are always banging me, read this, do this, go there, here, there. When you're really focused on what you're doing, it's really hard to stop that and go take in other things at some point. At least that's what I've found. And I bet you that Clint probably feels somewhat the same. Clint Richardson, welcome to the Radio Ranch. I'm sure it won't be the last time you're visiting with us, but you're here by popular demand, man. I mean, I've had so many listeners contact me and say, Clint Richardson's book, Straw Man, da-da-da-da-da. So welcome, and I'm anxious to hear what you say, and I know that the audience is also.
Well, I appreciate it. I hope that's not a curse that you're excited to hear what I have to say.
No. It's what I've found over the years is this: my information and our information from John Benson and Glenn Ambor. It's very specific, and so overall, I was exposed to this the first 2 weeks I was in the Patriot movement. Okay, so I got all of the real detail straight poop right from the start 25 years ago. So as I've woven through all the gurus that have come down the road and gone to all the road shows and traveled to get to some of them, I've been able to discern things that those people just didn't have the benefit of having the education of knowing basics. So everybody has had a piece of the puzzle. Okay, but it's like the analogy I use, Clint, is the old story about the Indians with the 8 blind guys. They each give a separate piece of the elephant. And this thing has been put together absolutely brilliantly so that people couldn't figure it out. And so all these years, all these groups of patriots, all well-meaning and very studious and attacking it the best they knew how, have gotten a picture. And they go, this is the picture, this is the picture. So everybody has had part of it, but we're just now getting to a point, I think, where we've got the majority of it. So I'm anxious to hear what you have to say. Tell us a little bit about your background first and how you got into this, where you came from. You've had a radio show of your own, I believe, and I'll just stop talking and kind of turn it over to you because I want to understand how you got here today.
Sure. I guess I could start when I was 17. I had cancer and wanted to understand why I was getting a cancer that was supposed to only appear in either people that were over the age of 75 or people with some autoimmune deficiency, which I didn't have. Turned out the water supply was tainted where I lived, and my brother's son, so that's my nephew, I guess, died of the same cancer. And that set me on sort of a strange, if you will, mortality complex where I wanted to travel and see everything I could see. I didn't want to waste my time in college learning a bunch of other people's history. I wanted to go experience it for myself because I really did think I had a limited time on this earth, and that sort of changes your intent and your perspective, if you will.
It accelerated it accelerated your bucket list, didn't it?
Exactly. Which was a good thing. It really was. I did this. I joined the airlines, traveled a lot for free, and just went everywhere I could to experience culture, realizing that there's really not a lot of culture in America, or there's every culture. And when you have every culture, you really have no culture as a standard. And so I found that to be sort of an interesting aspect of America. One of the reasons why a lot of countries at this moment seem to be failing is because they don't have an identity, specifically a religious identity. So that brought me eventually to several places, but I eventually moved to New York, was there on 9/11, watched it from my roof, experienced all kinds of different sort of things with 9/11, one of those being going to a store that was almost stripped of food and having all the bridges closed so that there was nothing coming in, it's a great way of understanding what it is to truly be dependent on a government and corporate system.
Were you awake? Were you awake yet at 9/11? Did you understand?
Are you kidding me? The night before that, I was, I think I was out dancing till really late, and I was sleeping when 9/11 actually was happening. Woke up because someone called us from Los Angeles talking about, you know, being bombed or something, and it was a strange, you know. So no, I wasn't awake in that sense. You know, obviously, people like us know, you know, you can't not know something's very wrong with society. My personal journey was just more self gratifying at that point, but that did turn it around to make me want to discover, you know, what the hell's going on. Because, you know, when we were listening to the radio and everything during 9/11, the only person that actually had anything decent to say, believe it or not, was Howard Stern. Because he's kind of a loose cannon. He was talking about things that other people weren't talking about. And the newscasters were, you know, actually speaking to all the things that were actually happening. And then, you know, the next day, all of a sudden, the official story came online, and that was all that was being talked about. They canned every other outlet concept of what might have happened, and it became the official story. And that, in and of itself, is what really said, hey, wait a minute, there's so much more going on here. Why all of a sudden are we hearing the same thing over and over on every station? You know, what's going on? And so that was kind of my kick in the pants. And from that point, I kind of started settling down. I moved to Los Angeles to become a sound engineer. Started doing sound design in Hollywood, so I basically became a slave to those people. And learned that side of the propaganda machine. And from there came out of that and into what I'm doing today. Back then, which was 8 or 9, 10 years ago now, I was in We Are Change Los Angeles, waking up, if you will, as they call it, although you never really do wake up, because those who are in the dream, characters of the dream, don't actually ever get to wake up. That's the problem.
This came from a guy down here that I met. I got a lot of really valuable information from him. He's a shaman, so an apprentice shaman, whatever. He's an interesting fellow. Had lived in the States for 6 years and married an American liberal feminist and moved to Denver. This little Argentine mama's boy. And he absolutely hated it. He said, I couldn't believe it. I was sitting there going to all these Rockets, the basketball team out there, the Nuggets, I guess, and whatever. And he said, all these people are standing up, talking, singing about how free they are, and they're all enslaved. But he gave me some really valuable insights, and one of them is this. in this topic. We're talking about waking up and dreaming. Is it an illusion? Words are really important because they convey concepts, and that's how we communicate. But he gave me the word that's perfect for this, and that's simulation. They've taken the old way and simulated a new way, exactly like a flight simulator. And if you think of it like that, it's really accurate, okay? So they've come out of the simulation.
Well, and see, what's interesting about that is because of my nature, and because I once I put my mind on something, I have to get to the bottom of it.
No matter how me too. It
takes me. So that's interesting that you say that, because a lot of people are falsely enlightened by such things as The Matrix, you know, the movie series The Matrix, which, you know, when you get down to it, is actually quite the opposite of what its actual source is. The source of that movie, the book that it was actually plagiarized from, is called Simulacrum and Simulation, by a French author named Jean Baudrillard, who's dead now, unfortunately, but the titles of his books are equally as intriguing. But Simulacrum and Simulation, a book I have in front of me, actually, because it's just so incredibly fascinating, is basically the entire blueprint of that movie, but you would say that the movie was satanic or adversarial to what this guy was trying to put forward, which is what you're saying, that everything we do is worshiping the simulation instead of the reality, the symbol, the character, the person, the status, the reputation, the score, the credit score. You know, all these things are symbols of the real, but none of them are real. And then the word simulacrum is a very interesting word used way back in Ecclesiastes time that actually means, and you'll rack your brain trying to figure this out, it means a copy without an original.
This does have an original, though, and that's the only way, and they can only simulate it. You see, that's their problem. They can't get rid of the original. They've got to make a simulation and then switch everybody over to it. That's a dialectic, and that's another really important concept I've been able to get my arms around. Their whole game's based on this idea of dialectics. They just take an opposite and switch you to it, and that's super important. And so continue, though. I think it's an interesting
What you're talking about. So after all these years of doing this, I ended up in Utah. I was on my way, actually. I bought the truck and a trailer, and I was just going to travel and camp for a while just to get back to nature. And I ended up staying in Utah, up in the Salt Lake area. Had friends here. Since then, that's been 7 years, and that's all I've been doing is full-time research and movie making since then. But you know, after all of this time, going through all the different gurus, as you say, all the different hosts, radio hosts and shock jocks and everybody out there talking about so many different things, trying to wrap your head around all of this simulation, this fiction, and trying to look at it in a way that it is real, trying to actually consider what is false as truth. That is actually the definition of the truth movement, if you will, which is to try to figure out the truth of the lie, the truth of the fiction. All, you know, let's have a conversation about, say, money, for instance. What is lawful money? Well, I can win that conversation very simply every time by saying money doesn't actually exist in nature. It's not a product of source or nature. It has no value except what we can agree upon in fiction. So no matter how deep we get into these conversations about what is the truth, the problem is that the maxims or principles, the foundations of our law system say that black can be white if it is adjudicated to be such. Left can be right. Black can be white. Good can be bad. Bad can be good. Right? So there is no foundation in law. There is no system or structure in the legal law, because everything it deals with is, in fact, a simulation, a simulacrum, or a lie.
Which jurisdiction? Because there's about seven different jurisdictions of law. So are you talking about equity, the law merchant? Are you talking about maritime or
admiralty? Well, I'll answer your question if you can show me in nature where jurisdiction is.
Well, that's the common law, and you see, that's what we really emphasize because that's what our country was founded on, and what at least the conclusion that I've come to in our research is when people, we got probably hundreds or thousands listening that have done this, have submitted that affidavit to the head guy at the Secretary of State, they've moved back over under the original government because it's still there. They've just hidden it and covered it over with this simulation. And so part of the reason for this program, and the guy we have on Fridays, an attorney licensed named Brent Winters, who's probably, as much as I know of, the only person that has a lot of expertise on the common law that I can access anyway in the country, and we've been having shows for about 3 or 4 years now, and that common law doesn't have to go to a court. If you drop an apple, that sucker's going to go under the laws of gravity, and it's going to hit the ground, and of course those are all, as he emphasizes, biblically based, and that's our hereditament that they've stolen from us, and they're trying to hide so desperately, because they can't beat us in that forum. They can beat us over in their law merchant, their Babylonian merchant code forum, their contract little deal, where they can pull all these little idiosyncrasies attached to different types of contracts and apply them that people don't understand. They can do that, and they can pull the wool over the people's eyes, and that's what the heck's been done, okay? But that one jurisdiction is the one we want to get back to, at least according to what I've come to understand.
Well, so that's what's interesting about it, is that when you're speaking about common law, really, when you define common law, is really the opinion of the court.
Well, that's true. The history of it is quite interesting, and I didn't know all this stuff until we got Brent on, and he's talking
about it. There's only one important history about common law that we need to understand, and it puts all else to shame, essentially, and that is something that it took me forever to find and finally understand, but there is, as far as when we're talking about the common law, they call the common law, so generally they call it the unwritten law as opposed to the Roman law or the strict law, which is the law of persons, right?
Yeah.
So the problem is, and I've actually, it's so interesting because now that I've discovered the truth, the only truth, the real truth, the truth that is actually, you know, right in front of everybody's face, the fact of the matter is that when you get down to the nitty-gritty, the foundation of law, you find the Bible. This is why
yes.
The Bible is the patented property of the crown in the United Kingdom. This is why, you know, it's very important to understand that the Bible is, in fact, the common law. It is, in other words, it's, okay, if I were to open a big container and follow the instructions as to which law I'm going to be under, the first thing it would direct me to would be the Bible. I make my election, as the Bible says, I make my election sure. I'm either going to follow the law of nature, which is the law of God or the law of the Bible, as Christ personified, or Christ, you know, you follow the example of Christ, essentially. The next step is to go up a step into the common law where all the courts and all the decisions that are made by men, the laws of men, which in the case of common law would be more like custom and that sort of thing.
Then you
get into the system of personhood, and that's a whole, that essentially, when you're acting in the person of another, the property, the status of another, a person is never a man. A person is always a fiction, a status, a reputation, a number, whatever, a straw man, if you will.
Well,
So you have to understand that the Bible is the common law. Once you do anything that the Bible tells you not to do, which is just about everything we do in citizenship, whether it's under the good government or the bad government or the simulation or any government of or religion of man, you've lost your ability to be under the common law. It is a voluntary choice to either follow the natural law or to act in the law of persons.
Okay, hold on. Let's stop and go back on and see if I can clarify a little bit of that. The common law, there's two types. After 25 years of studying this stuff, I've just come to understand some of this in the last year, okay? Even back to a Supreme Court quote that we use that proves our thesis that was written by Charles Fuller, who was the sitting Chief Justice at the Wong Kim Ark decision. Okay, and he spells it right out. Excuse me. But there was some confusion in there for me for years. There's an Anglo-Saxon common law, which was existing in England and through the Celtic Saxon people, up until William the Conqueror came over in 1066. At that time, there was also a continental Europe common law that had developed, but it was more under the influence of Rome and included the feudal system. And when William the Conqueror came over in 1066 and took over England, he took the feudal system common law and overlaid it over the Anglo-Saxon common law. So that's where that change happened. Now, as it went forward, it was around, I believe we were talking about it Friday, King James, who was the guy that was forced to sign the Magna Carta. In his era, they did have courts because rather than, you know, they had to have some sort of adjudication. But in a common law court, you've got to have a jury of your peers. There has to be a judgment, and there has to go forward in a very formal manner. And so rather than have each one of those things happen separately, they said we need to go back and start looking at the previous decisions and taking those into consideration. So that's about when that theory came into the system. And it went forward until Blackstone was the very first person to ever sit down and compile all of that stuff that was unwritten and written in different places into one common law basis, and that was Blackstone's commentaries. So, and that, of course, was the second most read book in the colonies behind the Bible. Okay, so that's a little bit of an accurate historical sense. And on the law side, one of the things that I had a teacher that had studied this for 40 years, Clint, just because he loved the law, okay? And so, as I said early on in my little path here, I got down to some really accurate conceptual basis that they don't teach in law schools anymore, that John just learned on his own over many years. And it's very simple when you look at it. All law, no matter what jurisdiction, falls under a very simple formula. R plus D equals R. Every jurisdictional law in the world falls under that formula. And the formula stands for rights plus duties, because they're always correlative. You don't just get rights, you've always got correlative duties, equal remedies. If your rights are infringed upon, or if you don't perform a duty, there's a remedy. So the way that you decide which of those voluntary systems of law you're in is where you get your rights and who you owe your duties to. So should you be in a situation where you get those, as in the original United States, for the first 100 or a little less years, we got our rights from God, as it says in the Declaration, nature and nature's God, therefore we owe the duties. And that's why those words are capitalized in that document. Okay? And it's been switched, obviously, over to man. And that's the simulation. But you said that you can't be a person, but you see, I'm a person, and I've got access to constitutional rights. And they may call me in the statutes an inhabitant, but the word person is not just a corporate person, as I've heard. Every researcher in the U.S. that I've ever asked that question had that answer. And it's not correct. because I'm a person, I get my right from God and owe my duties, and I'm God's person, and my residency is in heaven. So that's the way that we've been schooled up, and our whole deal is built on those ideals and those concepts, and they seem to work.
Well, so here's the thing. If we go back now to the foundation, to the source,
yeah,
right, we say, well, okay, you say that you're a person, and you say that you are that you get your rights of God, right?
Yes, yes.
Now, is that possible?
Yes, you see, that's not, am I a person? The question is, which person are you? Are you the person that gets your rights from the law merchant and has your duties that to the UCC that you own? Are you over here under equity? Are you over these jurisdictions? Where do you get those rights, and to whom do you owe those duties? Which person are you, not are you a person? So it's the way that the question is framed.
Okay, well, if you want to know, do you want to know what the Bible actually says about that?
Yeah.
Over and over in every chapter of the Bible, it says the same thing. Never respect persons. Never, ever respect persons.
Well, that may be what it says. You know, the Bible can be interpreted different ways, too. But that is the legal way. And if you go back to legal concepts all the way to Gaius, who's the guy that's credited with originating the law in Rome, Gaius's institutes are the whole foundation of all of our modern law, and especially that Roman side, that's where that concept comes from. And his entire first volume in his 9-volume set of Gaius's institutes, the whole thing is on person. So it's a pretty important concept to get your arms around. And we got a little break here, and I guess we're going to have a little bit of Waylon Jennings. And did Hank really do it that way? And Clinton Rogers is going to be right back and talk about it. See you in a minute, Clinton.
Lord, it's the same old tune, fiddle and guitar. Where do we take it from here? Rhinestone suits and new shine.
Joe Joseph here for Truth Frequency Radio. According to AllGov.com, since 9/11, a total of 238 Americans have died from a terrorist attack. That's 24 a year, making your chance of dying 1 in 625,000. Conversely, you have a 1 in 1,000 chance of becoming a victim of police brutality. Yet we spend trillions of dollars on the war on terror while militarizing an abusive police force. At TruthFrequencyRadio.com, we have a team of the very best personalities in independent media. A team that's dedicated to bringing you reliable and rock-solid news and information so you can arm yourself with knowledge and join the fight against worldwide oppression and tyranny. Truth Frequency Radio. News without the hate, hype, and fear.
FoodForLiberty.com sells high-quality, storable foods from Numana. And right now, take advantage of our summer special. Purchase 2 family packs and we'll send you a Pro Pure Water Pitcher, a $70 value, free. This premium pitcher is ideal for use with just about any water source and removes more contaminants than other brands. And it comes with a filter that lasts up to 2 full years. Whether you need to be prepared in the event of an emergency, you're an outdoor sports enthusiast, Numana is known for high-quality, great-tasting, GMO-free, super nutritious food with no chemical preservatives. And with a 25-year shelf life, you can't beat the feeling of being food secure when you need it most. Go to foodforliberty.com right now for great-tasting, high-quality, storable foods from Numana. Buy 2 family packs and get the Pro Pure Water Pitcher free. It makes good sense to be prepared. Get it at foodforliberty.com.
For millennia, mankind has been searching for answers to the big questions, such as, where did the universe come from? Where did we come from? Why are we here? Are we alone? And just what the heck is the Sasquatch all about? I can't promise you answers, and neither can the Woo crew, but they invite you to join them Friday night at 7 p.m. Eastern, midnight in the UK, for Freaky Friday, exclusively on Truth Frequency Radio. Spirituality, multiverse, quantum mechanics, the occult, and so much conspiracy analysis that it will make your mind melt. Take my word for it. Freaky Friday. It's more than a show. It's a way of life. I am Stephen Hawking, and I am proud to be a Wookiee.
Real people, real radio. Wherever you are, make it TFR. Truth Frequency Radio.
You know, I don't have any control over these bumpers, but they sure do seem to come up at the most appropriate time. Here we go back, Roger Sales Radio Ranch. It's Labor Day, the 5th, I think, good Lord, of September. We're about to see some rocky roads, sports fans, up ahead of us. My guest, Clint Richardson, today. Clint, I'd like to continue on where we were and emphasize that, you know, it's not who's right, I'm right, you're wrong, etc. on this. And I often have these debates with one of my regular old friends here. It's because I want to get to the essence of this so we can understand exactly what they did and how they've done it so the sons of bitches can't do it again. Okay?
Well, and so that's why I really want you to understand that that since the Bible is the actual foundation of law, not religion, we're to follow the law religiously, but it's not religion. Religion has nothing to do with the Bible. The Bible is the essence of the common law, if you will.
I agree with you. It's wholehearted.
Okay, so how have they gotten us to do this? They've convinced you that a person is a good thing, that you can be a person and still be under the Bible law.
Let me. Just aside,
this is not my opinion. This is what the Bible says. So let me read from the Bible, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
So we're not getting this from me or from you. It's not. I very seldom offer my own opinions anymore. I'm generally speaking in either the terms of a judge to tell you how I would treat you or administrate your person based on the principles of law, which many of them come from Scripture, many of them don't, or I speak directly from source. Therefore, it cannot be construed as my opinion anymore, and there's really no way to argue against what the Bible says when it says, "For there is no respect of persons with God," in Romans 2:11. "Let me not, I pray you, accept any man's person, neither let me give flattering titles unto any man," in Job 32:21. "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." In other words, don't take upon yourself a person. Philippians 4:11. "But if you have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors." James 2:9. "To have respect of persons is not good for a piece of bread that men will transgress." Proverbs 28:21. "Lest there be," that's about selling your birthright to take personhood in Hebrews 12:16. But them that are without, let God judgeth. In other words, without person, you're judged on your works. "Therefore, put away from amongst yourself that wicked person." 1 Corinthians 5:13. This is very important as well. "Ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment," that is, judging your fellow man. "Thou shalt not respect the person or title of the poor, nor honor the person," or i.e. entitlement, "of the mighty or wealthy, but in the righteousness thou shalt judge thy neighbor." Don't ever judge a man by his person, is what it's saying. Always treat a man as you would treat, have one treat yourself. That's Leviticus. These things also belong to the wise. It is not good to have respect of persons in judgment. Proverbs 24:23. It is not good to accept the person of the wicked, to overthrow the righteous in judgment. Again, Proverbs 18. I can go on forever and forever.
Let me address that then and say you're talking biblically. It just said the persons of the wicked. Okay. It didn't say don't respect the persons of the good. It's which person are you? Let me quote. Hold on, Clint. Hold on. My product, man, listen, this is not me. This is 100 years of three men's lives of intensive research. Okay. Now let me read you something that's pretty critical. Any person born or naturalized in the United States, comma, and subject to the jurisdiction thereof, comma, are citizens of the United States and the state in which they reside, period. Okay? Everybody knows where that comes from. All right? If I go into court and that's confronted with me, any person, well, I'm not that person, Your Honor, because it says any person born or naturalized in the United States, comma, it doesn't say are subject to the jurisdiction thereof. It says and. So obviously there's different types of persons in the real factual reality that we're dealing of in this thing we're entrapped in. Okay?
So there is no person in reality.
Let me give you the legal concept of this with that Rights and Duties Foundation concept that goes back about 2000.
Just to be clear. Yeah.
I gave you a couple of minutes. You quote the scripture.
You're wanting me to go against scripture and take the doctrine of sin.
Where the legal concept comes from? Okay, in law they call it an individual, and the reason is because in an individual rights and duties can't be separate. In the other types of persons, a corporation, the rights and the duties are separate. In an individual, they're in the same entity, which is the real key word to consider here. So entity, individual, is a human person in statutes. So, point made, 2,000 years of legal concept. Yes, human. The Bible is public.
You're not familiar with the word human.
Okay, well, listen,
is not man.
Okay, well, why don't we go ahead and you go ahead and take us where your research has led and your concepts, but because I've put this information out for 5 years to this audience and it's a teaching platform, I really have a feeling to try and make sure that the audience understands how your stuff that you're bringing here today differs from what I've taught for 5 years and has impeccably proved correct since the book was released with thousands of students without any objection. So,
and I guess we'll need to go forward.
Well, to put this in a nutshell, all this is...
Well, hold on. What happened?
Excuse me?
God almighty.
Did we lose audio, or...? Hello?
My great...
Are we connected? Hello?
Are we on? Clint, are you there? Are we on the air? I had sound technical problems with my wonderful Microsoft system here. And I don't know if we're on the, are you there, Clint?
Yes.
I'm sorry, man. It's technical snafu on my end. The thing went dead on me. So I'm sorry, wherever we were, if you'll continue.
Well, So I think the main thing I'm trying to get across to you is that while, yes, absolutely, you are absolutely correct in all of your opinions when it comes to the system, the lie. Yes, you are correct about the lie, the jurisdiction, the persons, on all of that stuff. But that's not the truth. And that's really all these verses are trying to tell you is don't conduct yourself in the person or status of something you are not. The Bible says don't be something when you are, in fact, no thing, referring to a name, which, of course, a noun is a name, a person, place, or thing. The whole system runs on the names of things. And the entirety of law that you're talking about is the law of persons. None of that law applies to a man unless the man takes the status or person of government, the one that's offering it voluntarily. I'm trying to tell you what the Bible is telling you here by saying not to respect persons is to act like a man.
Not. Well, it said the last one you quoted said don't respect persons who are wicked. So it didn't say not to respect persons. It said persons who are wicked. So what about persons that are good? Are you not supposed to respect them too? Are there not persons that are good?
But you got to understand, I used to do that too. I used to try to justify what I read to make myself justified in my actions. I don't do that anymore. I don't read this and say that, oh, it's only wicked persons. I can be a good person. A person is always a fiction. It's always a lie. It is something we participate in that is not of nature. Therefore, it is against, i.e., God or the law of nature. That's
my conclusions and understanding are different. But you know, you're the guest, and we want to get your information out. So you just continue.
Well, again, I want you to understand that this is the foundation of law. This is not religion I'm talking about.
I'm not talking about religion. I haven't brought up any religion at all in the whole conversation we've had so
far. I'm not exactly sure why you're getting offended or argumentative. I'm just trying to tell you what is in the book.
Okay. Okay, go ahead. Just go ahead.
Okay, so if this is the foundation of the law, right, and when I say that, you can go to many different sources, look up, for instance, Christianity. Why do they call it a Christian nation? This is the unenforceable law. That's the problem with common law, is that it's not with the structure, the foundational law of Scripture, is that it's not enforceable. It's something that we voluntarily do to each other. This is why it says treat each other as you would treat, have them treat you. If I am to invoke your person, which is the only way that I can actually bring you into law or injure you, put you into a system of law, that's the only way I can make you or cause you to appear in a court, a legal system court, is to invoke something that is not you, but something that you have a bond and surety to, that you're bound to appear as the agent for some process for that person. You got to understand that that is not how I wish you to treat me. And as far as what the Bible is trying to tell you, the Bible tells you to forgive, not to sue. The Bible tells you to, you know, work it out in the way of peace, not to enter into a system of commerce or which is basically war at peace. You got to understand, you must come to the foundational conclusion that a person is never a man, that a man is always pretending to be a person, which literally in law means status. If we can't agree on that, if we can't agree on the very foundation of Scripture, which is the foundation of law, then we can't go any further.
It's the scripture is the foundation of the common law. I agree with you. But the other is the foundation of the Babylonian merchant code. It came out of Babylon. Unfortunately, it was infused in a society a couple of thousand years ago, and that's what Jesus railed against. But I can't agree with you that I'm not a person, because I understand the legal concepts that are backing it up, and you're taking a purely spiritual. Let me put it another way. Out of the 25 years I've been doing this, I asked virtually every person that had the Rommel Road Show guys, the Right Way Law guys out of Cleveland, Al Addis, everybody that I've ever come in contact with, I ask a one definitive question. Give me the legal concept of the word person. And not one person has ever answered it correctly, except my Argentine attorney, who was 27 years old, whose father's a judge. And when I asked him the question, he immediately said, an entity to whom the law ascribes rights and duties. There is the legal foundation of the word person. The common law foundation, when it's just like I said, with the, some of the examples that you quoted us earlier, the one that stuck in my mind was, don't hang with the persons who are wicked. So if it says there's a differentiation there, there's got to be persons that are good. So I disagree with the way you've interpreted it. But listen, that's not a personal thing, Clint. This has been with everybody I've ever come across in the Patriot Movement for 25 years. Because this is not taught in the
person. You've just
all right.
All right, but you didn't define what a man is. What's a man? One who is a master of his own mental.
I thought we were talking about the word person.
Well, how can you understand the opposite of what man is unless you understand, you know, how do you know?
I'm a man. I have constitutional protections. I've filed that document with the Secretary of State 3 times, unabridged, unrebutted. They tacitly accept it, and I'm a man. I'm a person.
Because you're not letting me, guys, so frustrating. This is the, you got to understand that when you go in front of a judge, when you tell these people that you're a man or that you're living or that is almost, I mean, they would say it's vulgar. That's the notion. It's self-evident that you are a man. No one would ever doubt that you are a man. The question is whether you are a person or are representing a
person.
That's
correct. In the legal forum, that's absolutely correct. It's not whether you're a person, it's which person are you. That's the point I'm trying to get across here for several minutes. No, Your Honor, I'm not that person who receives rights from the federal government called civil rights under the scope and purview of the 14th Amendment. And I don't owe them any correlative duties, thank you very much. But I would have said it in affidavit form to the prosecutor ahead of going to trial, and it would have never gotten into a courtroom because they don't have any jurisdiction over that other person. Which I think you're straw. I think the straw man. See, this is the straw man argument, but it's just in a different framing.
These are two separate. There is no straw man argument. Straw man comes from the Latin "stramini" is homo. It means to be in surety and in bond to a person.
Well, there's a whole bunch of people in the Patriot Movement that think there is a straw man argument.
Okay, whatever you argue. You can call it what you want, but the word, the Latin term itself, means to be a bond and surety, period, end of story. There's no argument there to be made. Now,
that is, again, what they've done. They've just done it a different way according to what we've concluded. But go ahead. I think we're talking on the same track here.
Look, the point I'm trying to make to you, and I don't know why I can't make it clear, but I'm going to try. A man is considered as a creation of God or part of nature. A person, under no circumstances, can be a creation of God and be under God's law. Only a man can do that, and by avoiding persons, that's how you stay under, because the law of persons is always opposed to the law of nature. It's the law of fiction opposed to the law of reality.
Well, I'll tell you something that John Benson taught us. All law applies to persons, things, or actions. All law applies to persons, things, or actions.
All of man's law applies. The laws of nature have nothing to do with fiction. They're opposed to fiction, which is why the Bible is opposed to persons.
Well, you and I have some real fundamental the ways that we're looking at this.
Well, how much have you studied the Bible?
Plenty.
I don't know how if you don't know this one fundamental aspect of it. But man, again, what is man? What is a man of God? In other words, a creation of God, one who is master of his own mental powers, one who conducts himself with his usual judgment. When a person has lost his senses or acts without usual judgment, we say he is not his own man. When you're following the law, any law that is other than the law of nature, which is the scriptural moral law, you are not your own man. You are in the person or a property of another. This legal system that you're talking about is not yours. You're an agent to it. If you're in person to it in any way, you're participating voluntarily in something that is not your property. Do you understand that?
Let's talk about the legal concept of property. Tell me about property. You just used the word. You've got it pretty integrally in your concept here. How do you look in concept of the word property legally?
The term proprietary is actually a much more important concept, because it means, for instance, the language, the legalese, is a proprietary aspect of the terms of art of this legal system. When you go into a judge, you don't give your opinion. He does. He decides what words mean. He decides what laws, how laws should be administered and interpreted. Right? So that's you're participating. I mean, even the very language we speak is a proprietary term of art when it comes to the legal language. We don't speak generally, we speak legally.
Well, let me tell you about property and rights. Property and rights are not what we think they are legally. We have a colloquial understanding and there's a legal understanding. In law, we might say that car outside your property, right, Clint? We'd agree on that?
We'd say
that your car outside that you drive is your property.
I wouldn't agree with that at all.
Okay, well, how would you say it legally then?
As a resident, as a United States citizenship, I should say, that car is registered property of the person of the United States, which is in the district or jurisdiction of the United States.
Okay, is the car the property? This is my question I'm asking.
No.
All right, what is
the property? So you got to remember, law is pure fiction, so the only property is a piece of paper.
Well, in law, the car is called a thing, and the property is a right of ownership in and to the thing.
Okay?
Correct. But what I'm saying is there's two different ways of looking at these things. There's a colloquial way, and there's a highly technical, legal, correct way. And we all use that word property colloquially, but it's not correct, because the property is a right of ownership, not a thing. So that's the point I was trying to get across, is that there's more deeper here, and yes, it is very legally founded. They teach entire courses in law school on that.
Well, that's great, and lawyers in Scotland and here are called devils and devil masters. They practice deviling. So the notion of taking the legal law over the spiritual law, or the moral law, the scriptural law, is actually quite insane when you actually consider that you're arguing against the natural law.
Well, I'm not arguing against anything. I'm trying to differentiate and identify so that we can have a good discussion here. And that's exactly my point, is those are different systems of law. It isn't the law. It's the system that's prevailing, and it's prevailing because of fraud and deceit in how they've pulled it off.
But you have a belief that a person can be under the law of nature, which is an incorrect...
Well, it's not a belief. It's an actuality, because I'm a person and I'm under the laws of nature. So your statement is really incorrect. I am a person. I receive, and I, when they write those laws, it says person. It's not that you're automatically in it because it says person. It's which person. And that, you want a perfect example? Social Security. Okay, I filed my affidavit with my application for Social Security. I've been receiving my Social Security payments that I paid in when I was working for over 6 years now with no equivocation at all. No problems, no questions, no nothing. Because I'm a person under the Social Security Act. And I'm a natural person that has God-given rights because they're running parallel governments. It's right in the Constitution. The 13th Amendment says their jurisdiction, plural for the states. The 14th Amendment says the jurisdiction thereof, singular. There's your twin governments. They're running right there.
So here's where we have to discuss the law of agency. Your person is receiving benefits at the registered federal address of its agent, which is you, the man.
No, I'm not an agent. I have no agency from them at all. I have God-given rights that are protected under the Constitution. I'm one of the few that do. Okay.
I'm sorry. Wait. God-given rights protected under the Constitution.
Correct. Not civil rights under the Constitution.
Do you recognize the oxymoron in that?
Not civil rights under the 14th Amendment. I have the original God-given rights, which still exist, that are just covered over with the simulation that people accept as the only entity that controls. It's not true. It's all through the United States Code, the twin governments. I can give you several other examples.
But what you're saying is... I don't know how to proceed at this point. You're using two different forms of law. The Constitution is a negative document that says government can't touch what we call God-given rights, which essentially doesn't really, it's a negative. It doesn't mean anything. In other words, a positive law cannot be passed to encroach upon God-given rights. God-given rights only exist if you read, it says all men, not persons, but men have God-given rights.
Well, we got a little bumper music. We're going to have to honor that. Then Clint and I are going to get back and discuss this Constitution thing. See you in a minute.
Some change comes down for the better.
Hi, my name is Ella, and I'm 10 years old. I'm one of the millions of children born to parents suffering from the sheeple virus. Symptoms include the inability to think for oneself, the attention span of a goldfish, and a strong belief in government and the mainstream media. It is estimated that one out of every two children are being raised by parents infected with the sheeple virus. But there is a cure. For as little as 19 cents per day, you can become a TFR supporter and help children like me get their daily dose of truth. Together, we will make sure every child has protection from deception.
Syria plan, Trump on immigration. I'm Chaz Henry. After a 90-minute meeting today in China, President Obama and Russian leader Vladimir Putin still have work to do if the U.S. and Russia are to agree on a plan to end fighting in Syria Correspondent Barbara Starr.
The Pentagon really wants the Russians to make a verifiable commitment that if this happens, they will turn to fighting ISIS. That's the U.S. goal. The Russians, on the other hand, very much still supporting Bashar al-Assad.
The group Islamic State, meantime, has claimed responsibility for new attacks across Syria that killed at least 48 people, targeting government-held areas and Kurdish forces. Donald Trump's on the campaign trail in Ohio today, where he'll likely be asked about where deportation fits in his immigration policy.
One of the key issues is he backed off a little bit. Immediate deportation for the 11 million undocumented immigrants in the country. What he said he wants to do is prioritize. First, criminals. Then, those who have overstayed their visas.
Correspondent Phil Mattingly there. I'm Chaz Henry. From China, President Obama has weighed in on San Francisco 49ers quarterback Colin Kaepernick's refusing to stand for the national anthem.
As America's first black president departs the international stage, he was asked about a matter back home, the national anthem protest of 49ers quarterback Colin Kaepernick.
He's exercising his constitutional right to make a statement.
Critics have exercised their rights, for example, to burn Kaepernick jerseys, though the controversy could jeopardize local police's willingness to provide security at 49er games. In Hangzhou, China, the president did not want to criticize Kaepernick's particular way of highlighting the issue.
I don't doubt his sincerity based on what I've heard. I think he cares about real, legitimate issues that have to be talked about.
Bob Costantini, Washington.
And authorities say an Amtrak train in South Carolina was delayed last night after hitting a vehicle that got stuck on tracks north of Charleston. Amtrak says there were no injuries. The train continued north after 3 hours. The driver of the car, suspected of being drunk, was arrested at the scene. I'm Chaz Henry.
This is the Truth Frequency Radio Network. We are TFR. Truth Frequency Radio.
Population keeps on breeding. Nation bleeding. Still more bleeding.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, here we go back. All right, Alvin, okay. He just loves to play that guitar, doesn't he? Here we go back in the third segment, Radio Ranch Labor Day, it's the 5th of September. My guest, Clint Richards. And Clint, I didn't even ask you to give the audience where they can get a hold of you or the name of your work or any of that stuff, and I'm so sorry for not doing that up to this point. We need to do that, and I'd like to continue our conversation on the Constitution there if we can.
Sure. You can go. I had a blog for many years. I just wrote the last of my blog entries for a while because I'm concentrating on writing a series of books. You can go to realityblogger.wordpress.com. Blogger has one G. Realityblogger.wordpress.com for all my blog entries, including one which is a series called Cracking the Cult of the Constitution, parts 1 and 2. You can go to strawmanstory.info and you can download a free copy of my book. I haven't printed the book yet, and I'm going to be updating the free copy as well with my most recent edits pretty soon, so you might want to wait for that. Also, my documentary films are at thecorporationnation.com. And that's the extent of it. That's kind of my life's work, if you will.
Okay.
So I'm working on these books that are called Straw Man. They're not just the notion of the, as you say, the straw man argument that you hear. This is a full and utterly complete walkthrough of basically the story of the spiritual man or of Jesus Christ versus the story of the legal man or the person in law. And once you compare those two together, you can have no doubts of the difference between a man, a spiritual man, and a legal entity or person. Now, there's one thing I wanted to just addendum to what you said earlier, because you did say the correct definition of person, which is an entity, right? And that's where we get the term identity or id entity. Our egos are built up our whole lives to support that false identity or id entity that we carry around. We call it our person or our status, our reputation, all the numbers, all the contracts, everything that we, you know, the combination of the surname and the first name or Christian name. So this creates what is called an artificial or figurative, metaphoric, legal, which literally means artificial, life. Life is defined by Webster as the state of being in force. Now, that doesn't reference anything specific yet. Life is the term for which an instrument has legal operation as the life of an execution. In other words, that a contract that's being executed, a person, which is a performance debt that is being executed or performed in. Now, that brings us to the word, like you, my computer doesn't always
well,
come up.
Let me
find the word entity.
Right.
Identity is sameness, right? So sameness is the same, is a similar to the notion of simulation, the fact that a subject, person, or thing before a court is the same as it is represented, claimed, or charged to be. And then we have the actual term entity, which I'm relying on my computer to, to get there. So entity, when we're speaking of both life itself and artificial life or personhood, it means being or existence, a real being or a species of being. Of course, species means special. So what we're talking about are two different realms. And
how they identify it in statute is individual. And the reason they do it is, like I was explaining earlier, the concept of rights and duties are in the same entity. So when you do see that natural person in statutes, it's identified generally as an individual. So that's my point.
Right, but you're using, again, here we come to another legal term that is natural, right? You believe
yes.
that when you see the word natural written legally or adversarial to God or reality, you believe that natural actually means something of nature. See, this is the problem with the English language, and especially the figurative versus the literalist interpretation of the language. We're trained to be literal, and therefore when we see the word natural or natural person, we automatically think, that's real. Just like we look at a food product and we see an ingredient when it says all natural, and
a natural person would be referred to in law, I believe, as an individual.
Right, but I'm not interested in that, because individual just means person. Person means individual, corporation, association.
No. A person does not mean a corporation. A corporation is an entity where the rights and duties are separate. An individual is an entity where the rights and duties are contained in the same entity. They're different, and yet they're both persons.
A corporation is merely natural persons joined together as one artificial person.
Well, we're going to have to just disagree on that. And I'll tell you what, let's consult some type of legal, because I think you'll find that my position is correct here. But let's go on.
Let me tell you how.
If your whole thing is based on the fact that persons are automatically in this deal and they can't be natural, then I got to disagree with you from the get-go.
Well, then you're disagreeing with not only the Bible, but the law, and you're disagreeing with everything that's established.
No, our interpretations are totally different.
Okay, well, here's...
But let's go forward anyway.
The term natural person, any human being, okay? Human being is not man. Human means the form of man, which is why they say it in medical terms. That's a human liver. That's a horse or equine, you know, tail, whatever. But it doesn't mean it's a man. A natural person is any human being who, as such, is a legal entity as distinguished from an artificial person. Okay? Remember, a corporation is a bunch of legal entities or natural persons joined into one artificial person, like a corporation, which derives its status as a legal entity from being recognized so in law. That's Max Braden's Law Dictionary.
It's given birth by the state, so the state gave it its rights, and to the state it owes its duties. It's not a group of humans joined with a fictional entity. It's a legal person that has rights and duties. You can give a corporation rights, but if there's an egregious absent of duty or infringement of others' rights, you can't put the corporation in jail. That's where they pierce the corporate veil, and they can put directors in jail for their actions in corporations. They're not joined together as one homogenous group, except one operates the other. We have these foundational differences in opinion.
You just said the key word. A person is a creation of the state.
Yes.
The state is a legal
artificial person. A natural person is a creation of God.
No, it's not.
Okay. All right. Well, then let's just continue, because we can't even agree on anything basic like that, but I want you to get your stuff out for the audience, okay?
I don't know what to say because here's the deal, my friend. I realize that from what you just stated earlier, that I'm talking to somebody who has put, after years and years of research, which is exactly what I'm about to do, you've put it down in writing. You've put it down in a book. That book is now basically an unchangeable thing that you've put out to people.
Well, it's not unchangeable. It's been out there for 5 years and nobody's rebutted one single fact. So evidently
the Bible rebuts it. The law rebuts it. So no, I'm not sure. What I'm trying to tell you is that
Secretary of State, the highest authority that deals with all these matters, has agreed with me personally, and I don't know how many thousands of students have done this, maybe tens of thousands, and there's been no disagreement from them either, and that's the highest authority in the federal government. So we must be doing something right.
What exactly have they done? When you say
they didn't refute an affidavit that stated our position in affidavit form that has to be rebutted under penalty of perjury to be rebutted and considered to be rebutted, or else it stands. Silence deems consent.
Right. So what did that accomplish?
Well, it moved us out from over the federal government's civil rights over under constitutional protections of the original government, which is still represented in the 13th Amendment. It's still there, okay? Now, we were talking earlier about constitutional protections, and you said the Constitution gives you no rights, and that's correct. It wasn't meant to give any rights. That's why there was such a rhubarb when it was finished, and they put out to the states, and they received back over 200 additional amendments, of which was condensed down into 10 that we call the Bill of Rights. And those do supposedly offer you some protections, all right? But yes, when that affidavit is filed and unrebutted, you automatically move away from the administrative state, which only has jurisdiction on citizens of the United States, small c, and residents, and it automatically removes you somewhere in the bowels of the Treasury Department as property and collateral for the bonds which back the world reserve currency. Now, that's the conclusion we've been able to come to, and it stands at this point because nobody's ever proven it different. And it's got the highest approval from the highest office in the federal government dealing with these issues, the Secretary of State.
And what exactly, again, what's the point?
Well, I don't know how to put it any clearer.
What have you, I mean, when you say it's accepted or it's the law, well, and I understand.
Well, an affidavit is the highest form of truth in law, if it's
authorized. Okay. Let me stop you there. Okay. The highest form of truth in law, which is a lie.
Okay, how is that a lie, Clint?
The legal system. Legal literally means opposed to nature, opposed to God.
There is a form
of truth in legal law, is what you're saying.
Okay, if you want to put it that way, in the legal system, the highest form of truth is an unrebutted affidavit that's properly formed, properly notarized, and presented to proper authority and unrebutted. And thousands
of... And what name did you do that in?
Pardon me?
Which name did you do that in?
I did it in my name as Born to White Parents in the State of Florida. It's reprinted in the back of my book. We've got it culled down from 5 pages, which it was originally back in 1992, by the way, when it was first filed in the property records office of the county where I was born, Bay County, Florida. It's scaled down to 1 page on our affidavits. And what's interesting is that because it's the method that they used to enslave everyone, the dialectic has to be true, which is it's got to be the door to free everyone. And we've had at least 4 black people submit a very similar affidavit, except with their statement being it's based on Brown versus Board of Education, which is where they slammed the trap door. And all 4 of them have also got unrebutted affidavits and passports issued to them. So evidently there's some pretty good basis of fact here, because they consider passport fraud a real serious offense.
One more time, though. What name was used?
The name that I was born under.
The name on your birth certificate?
Yes.
So... which creates a legal entity that is property of status, that is property of government.
Under the voluntary feudal system, there you've brought the feudal system in under the 14th Amendment. That's sitting Justice of the Supreme Court, Charles Fuller and Wong Kim Ark, by the way, in the dissenting opinion. And so they brought in the voluntary system with March the 9th of 33. They took the gold, which had backed the money, and they brought this new system in with the people as property to back the money. One of the quirks of that old contract called an oath of fealty from the feudal era is that if your parents were involved voluntary servitude, and the child was born, it was also born into the same system. So
which is why they called it a natural person or natural child, which is the euphemism for a bastard or an illegitimate. That's what I'm trying to say. Natural does not mean what you think.
Okay, well, that's the way that you interpret it.
That's Avon versus Morashi and Max Raden's Law Dictionary in 1955, actually.
Okay.
William Osler said the natural man has only 2 primal passions, to get and beget. Shakespeare, I mean, I can read you quotes about the natural man from John Locke, what a perfect natural is. Natural is not a good word when it's used in a legal setting. Introducing the 2000. That's what I'm trying to get at you. You're using terms of nature and using them.
I'm viewing this as a status argument, and a natural person is the original
Hotels.
American capital C
program
citizen.
Is simple.
Okay,
for
with God-given
nights,
rights and constitutional protections.
Cell phone, Captain,
the new
obvious.
Federal citizen is the artificial citizen that's a piece of property, so they have to give them civil rights.
This, on the
they
other
can't
hand,
give them God-given rights. They gave them civil rights, and that's
you
what everybody thinks that
sure.
they have now.
This is the misconception, again, so that I'm trying to erase, choice. Is that there are not 2 forms of citizens in that respect. There are private and there are public.
Bank of America mobile banking app.
There's nothing else. There's private citizens checks, and public citizens.
I'd kind of go with that. I can understand that.
But if you're receiving Social Security, under no circumstances can you call yourself anything but a public citizenship.
Well, you're absolutely incorrect, because that was my money. And you can be a citizen of China or a citizen of Japan. I've got friends here in Argentina that are Argentine citizens that lived in the States, were residents when they were there, had their children there, but they left, and they're 25 years later, they're Argentine citizens, and they're receiving Social Security. How are they doing it?
Okay. Again, you're receiving Social Security in the person of the United States, because that's the only person.
I'm a U.S. national, Clint. I'm receiving my Social Security in the status of a U.S. national, which is on the passport application, by the way, which is where I found the whole key to this that I've been studying for 15
years. You're receiving Social Security in a status, i.e., the meaning of person, a status of the United States.
Well, no, I'm receiving it under the status of the United States of America. Those are different.
Okay, Social Security does not exist in America. It only exists in the United States of the corporations.
I can interact with those people and not change my status.
Okay, and the other question here, I don't know where to go with this, but you said it's your money. You actually believe that the money of the United States printed and patented in the United States is your
money? It's the money that I contributed in 40 quarters of my working years that they took, stole 90% of, and they're dribbling it back to me right now. And yes, it is money that I earned through my labors. Okay.
And you think that if you had, just to be clear, that you think that if you didn't have a person, that you think that somehow you would get Social Security without a person?
I don't have. That's my whole thing. My argument is you're strictly a very, very narrow definition of person is not correct according to everything I've ever learned. I'm a person too, man. I'm just not that person, that any person born or naturalized in the United States, comma, and subject to the jurisdiction thereof. I'm not that person.
But all of this is what you said you used the name that was put on your birth certificate to declare all this.
Correct.
The name of a United States person is declaring that they're not a United States person?
That's right, because, you see, I was born into a situation where they've imputed the old feudal system, and that's what's controlling us. And in that system, you could volunteer out at any time, and they adhere to that because they are following a rule of law. People don't believe that, but it's true. They have a legal peg they hang their hat on, and by effect that these affidavits work proves it to me.
Well, okay, again, I'm not sure what they work. How do they work? What's the work?
Well, because they were uncontested. If they were contested, they wouldn't have worked.
Well, that's
you
not necessarily.
Say their hand up and wave, hey, you figured it out. You beat us. Is that what you expect them to do? Put it on NBC News? Or on the front page of
what I'm trying to tell you, my friend, is that there is no beating, there is no winning in a system designed to enslave you. It's not your system.
That's incorrect. That's incorrect.
Okay, so this brings us to what you're talking about is remedy. You're trying to sell a basically a system to get remedy.
I'm not trying to sell anything. What I'm trying to do is get accurate law information out into the public domain, like that definition of person and stuff like that, and what the difference is legally in property versus colloquially. That's what I'm trying to do, is be a teacher, okay? And through those lessons, which I've found over 25 years, virtually nobody knows that John Benson, who studied it for 40 years before I met him, taught me, and I'm trying to carry on his work, brother. That's what I do here.
All right, well.
So that these things that have been long ago not taught in the law schools intentionally are put back into the public domain. That's why I do what I do.
Let's be clear about one other thing here. Now, are you or are you not then, by claiming personhood of some sort in a contractual relationship?
No, I'm not in a contractual relationship with them.
So receiving Social Security is not part of a contract?
Well, it could be part of a contract, but it doesn't have adverse repercussions on me because I can enter into that contract in the status I have and not have any adverse
You're actually telling people that they can go against the very principles of law, which says protection
for allegiance, allegiance for protection. I'm not getting any protection from them. I'm getting something I contributed that they took 90% of. It's a little different. It's not a benefit. I don't owe a duty. It's not a benefit. This was my efforts that went in to fund the pool.
Well, okay, I can understand that misconception, but if you look up the word contribution, once you part with that money, it is no longer considered your property. Okay. That's what a contribution is. That's why all these pensioners are in such trouble, because they've contributed, literally, voluntarily given over their money to the whatever pension fund it is, and they don't any longer have any claim to that money.
So, I understand the way that they've jerry-rigged the system. It changed back in the 60s. It wasn't like that originally. They've morphed it along the way. But I don't have any moral qualms about getting that, and I don't consider it any kind of an attachment, and they must not either because they don't come down on me or do any kind of requests, and there have been no adversarial repercussions from it for me for over 6 years.
Well, for what? For, I mean, you're
well. That's what you're saying. You're saying I got this contract.
Social Security.
You're saying I got this contract, and it's okay. So what?
You're a recipient of Social Security. What do you think they're going to do? I mean, I don't understand what you're protecting. I don't understand what you're trying to.
Well, that's two of us, Clint, because there's a lot of it I don't understand either. But I'll tell you what, we're getting pretty close to the break. We've got a couple of people that have chimed here on the phones, and I have not opened the phones. And we haven't really been able to get even, because of our discussion, too much to the meat of your stuff, and I'd like to do that. But I'm going to open the phones anyway here as we get on the other side. We got a couple of minutes up into the break, maybe about two. You want to take us into the break there, Clint? Listen for some music.
Well, I mean, like I said, I've been writing this massive tome. I actually quit the radio. All my radio archives are also up, Corporation Nation Radio Archives.wordpress.com. Thanks to Drew for archiving all those and everything. The obviously we're in two different. When I set out on this journey, I decided that I wanted to understand the opposite of things. I wanted to empathize with evil because I figured the only way you can understand your enemy and how they've enslaved you is to actually understand their how they think, how they speak.
You got it. It's right. Absolute total Sun Tzu, and that's exactly what I've done for 25 years. That's the reason I've been able to arrive at conclusions. I've taught myself to think like them. I don't think like them, but I can think like them because I know how they do things.
But see, that's the thing. I think that maybe you're going a little too far into sort of worshiping their system over the natural system.
No, hold on, Clint. I ain't worshiping their system over the natural system. I'm trying to fight against it. You can't do that until you analyze it and totally understand it. We got a little bit of music, a little nice harmonica, Clint and Roger, and maybe you on the other side with Mr. Dillon.
Close your eyes, close the door.
The Zevites follow a fake Messiah. He preaches the opposite of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not steal becomes thou shalt steal. Thou shalt not kill becomes thou shall kill. The Zevites have killed millions. The Great Fire of London was the inferno they deliberately created to honor the crowning of their King Shabbatai, an evil fake Messiah crowned in the year 1666.
The Enigma Channel. EnigmaTV.com. Intelligent television for planet Earth.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Work with your doctor when taking medications. Make ProtoVite part of your healthy lifestyle.
HealthForLiberty.com is your source for ProtoVite, a powerful nutritional supplement that's a true breakthrough for your health. Poor digestion makes it nearly impossible to absorb the nutrition your body needs. ProtoVite is a liquid multi-nutrient formula with patent-pending absorption technology and the highest quality ingredients to nourish every cell in your body.
My name is Sandra White. 6 weeks ago when I started taking ProtoVite, I was on 14 medications, from everything for blood pressure to fibromyalgia. In the first 10 days, my blood sugar dropped 50 points and my fibromyalgia pain is gone. And so was 12 of the 14 medications that I was taking. I'm 66, living life and loving it.
Go to healthforliberty.com right now. That's healthforliberty.com.
Thank you, ProtoVite, for giving my life back.
Hey everyone, it's Mark Sargent from Strange World, broadcasting live every Tuesday evening, 10 to 12 Eastern, 7 to 9 Pacific, right here on True Frequency Radio. Strange World covers a wide range of topics, from enclosed world theory to lunar waves to the end of the world in film. It's basically doomsday with a silver lining. With the audience as my co-host, we take an optimistic approach to all things conspiracy and promote confidence, hope, and humor whenever possible. If there's a topic you want us to cover or a guest you would like to see interviewed, please email me at msargent23@comcast.net. So please join me and tell your friends about Truth Frequency Radio, the leader in real radio programming, bringing you quality, cutting-edge broadcasts from around the world.
You are now tuned into the Truth Frequency.
Your protection from deception.
TLR. Truth Frequency Radio.
Is it mine? Thank you very much. Into the fourth segment here, Radio Ranch. Our guest, Clint Richardson, today. Got a couple of callers on there. But here we go back into the fourth segment. Pretty spirited discussion, Clint. Let's see who we got here on the phones. We got somebody that chimed in from Bridgeville, California, it looks like, and Westminster, Maryland. Who we got calling in today?
Hi, I'm William from Bridgeville, California, up here in near Oregon, almost.
Hi, William.
I just wanted to say, hi, Roger, I've been listening to you for about a year. I just want to make a quick point that God doesn't play favorites. When it says, thou shalt not bear false witness, it means you shouldn't lie, you shouldn't slander, you shouldn't perjure yourself. Whatever jurisdiction you're in, whether it's the kingdom of God jurisdiction or the jurisdiction of common relationships with other people, he doesn't play favorites. In other words, he doesn't respect. Thou shalt not bear false witness goes equally. God created all man equally. He's not a respecter of persons. That law is applied equally, and that's what it means. He's not a respecter of persons, and you brought that out when it in that one example. If you're a wicked person, R plus D equals R is going to work whether you're a good by your actions, and the commandments, they work whether you apply them correctly, whether you do right or wrong, there's consequences.
That's why it's such a litmus test formula, is that's the basis of all law. It doesn't matter which jurisdiction it is, and that's why
God is no respecter of person. He doesn't play favorites.
Correct.
He doesn't play favorites. It's like maxims or truths. Anyway, I've really enjoyed listening to you over the last year, Roger. I'm going to hang up now.
Okay, William. Thank you for calling in and checking in with us. First time caller.
We'll keep listening.
Clint's chomping at the bit to say something here. Clint,
what that means is that sort of figurative notion of the judgment of God is the notion that God will not judge you by anything you did while in or claiming to be in the person of another. In other words, as a soldier, for instance, you're not going to be able to say, well, I had a license to kill. No, the Bible doesn't give you a license to kill. God is not going to see you in person. That's why it says do not respect any person. And flattering titles as well, which is every legal title from doctor to lawyer to patriot to whatever, poor, wealthy, all these are titles that we should not be respecting. We should not treat someone differently, it says, because they're wealthy than because they're poor, which is exactly what we do in this system. So the notion of not respecting persons, which again is in every chapter of the Bible, that covers every type of person, because a person is not real. It's a fiction. It's a status. It's an entitlement. It's everything but the reality of that which you – it's a simulation is what
it
is.
The person they call the in statutes, in law, the way they identify that person that is a God person is individual, because rights and duties are contained within the same entity. The word individual comes from that concept of those two things being indivisible in one entity. Okay? So just to set the record straight. Westminster, Maryland, are you there?
Yes, sir, Roger, I am. You know, I have to wonder sometimes if semantics and interpretation haven't divided more Christians than anything else.
Well,
I'd like to know from you again.
Okay.
Well, to be clear, people don't want to hear this, but Christian, the word Christian is a flattering title. It means absolutely nothing. God will not respect the person of a Christian, the title of a Christian. He will respect the works of a man that followed in Christ's footsteps, in God's law, the natural law.
Right,
you can call yourself a Christian you want, but God isn't done seeing that.
Hold on. Let our caller get his question in. I think, caller, hold on a second, because you're a little muffled, and I want to be able to hear what you say as well as the audience, and Clint does too. So be sure to talk right into the mic if you could, please.
Okay, sir. I think he's making my point for me. Here's what I'd like to know, very simply. What would you two agree on as how a person, a man, should identify himself in the legal system? Would be a man of God to the guest? What would you feel is appropriate according to the Bible?
A man should never identify himself as anything but I am. I am a self-evident living creation. That's it. No names, no titles. Words aren't creations of God. Words aren't they're creations of men. The whole point of the Bible is to keep you a man, to keep you in the natural realm, to avoid all of these lies that we're trying to distinguish between what is the correct interpretation of the lie and the false interpretation of the lie, even though it's always a lie. The Bible keeps you real.
We got a little differentiation because you're overriding his cell phone. So, caller, what was your name, please?
This is Tom, and I was wondering if Roger substituted that sentence that you just gave for person, would you be okay with that?
One more time.
He said,
the sentence you just gave describing a person or a man, would you be okay if Roger substituted that sentence, I think it included entity, with person? What would you be okay with substituting and identifying yourself as? It's got to be something.
Well, I can give you a little hint. I identify myself when I'm dealing with these people as a U.S. national because that's how they identify the status that I have desired and found and applied for and gotten.
Well, U.S. code is very clear that a national is a citizen of the United States.
But you see, you don't know how they've convoluted that back to the statutes of the, at large in 1940 with the Nationality Act, and they set it up and twisted it. What they've done is they've taken the original citizens of the states, which is what we're really talking about, the original state citizens.
Original lie, and they've turned it into a different lie. Either way, it's a lie.
I don't agree with that, and I can give you a perfect reason why. Originally, as the country was set up, you were a state citizen, and you got your rights from God directly, and you were a citizen of the United States. Clint, let me finish, please.
That is not a true statement. I can read you quote after quote of even the founding fathers who even said their rights came from God, which was the King of England.
No.
That's where their natural rights came from.
That's not where the founding fathers considered the King of England.
Yes, it was.
Well, you and I just got some real basic disagreements, Clint.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm pointing to actual quotes. It's not my opinion.
They signed it in the year of our Lord, so they were talking about Jesus Christ. Is God and Lord two different things to you, guest?
I'll put it to you in the biblical terms. You're supposed to stay in creation, in nature. You're not supposed to be part of a lie. You're not supposed to be part of a legal system, especially when you go and you read that the word legal means opposed to God.
But both entities are in that legal system, Clint.
Both what entities?
We should all be outlaws. We should all be outlaws, according to the guest.
The national citizen, the old state citizen, and the federal citizen are replete through the codes. I can show them to you.
And?
Its governments are in the Constitution. The original one's in the 13th, where it says their jurisdictions. That's the original states.
And what's your point? I can show you the Sheriff of Nottingham. I can show you Robin Hood. I can show you King Arthur and his knights. They're still lies.
I think the audience gets the point of what's going on here. We'll go on and continue. We got Doug. I got Doug chiming in here, who's usually a good contributor and has a lot to say on these matters from Fayetteville, Arkansas. Hello, Mr. Cosmos. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing very well, and I'm enjoying the conversation here. And I've been... fortunately, in the listening audience since the beginning of it, and so during this episode, I pulled out my Greek interlinear and my Strong's Concordance and other biblical books that I have, and I've been at this for 40 years plus, And then I thought, you know, as I'm listening, I thought, well, what is the meaning of, what's the definition of person? So I pulled out one of my dictionaries, and before I pulled it out, I thought I understood, and I was correct, that per, and then son, is it's broken up as two separate words, and per is through. I'm not reading it from the dictionary, but it's through. In other words,
You're correct.
It doesn't indicate that it's not a living person, but that it is a definition of something that would be a son. So it is a living person, even though through all the shenanigans where they changed the meaning of it, and my Greek interlinear, it only deals with the New Testament, and there's only two definitions in there, and they're very interesting as I looked at those two usages. the word person is used throughout the Old Testament. However, the word per and son basically means someone who is a son, a living being. Okay? And so then that son would be expected and would be exemplify the nature of his father. Okay.
Right, but see, understand, my friend, that you are absolutely correct in what you're saying, except for the life. There is no there's nothing of nature in a person. There's no life force. A person must be, it's like a puppet. A puppet can't do anything without a master. You have to drive the puppet. And so when you say that it is per the son or through the son, you got to ask, who's the father of all persons? Who's the father of persons? We know who the father of man is. That's God. That's Jehovah. Who's the father of legal entities, legal statuses? It's not God. It's the state.
Well, how I would argue with
how does the state determine God's people then? They got to identify them somehow, don't they? And differentiate them.
Well, how I would argue with that statement is that the term nature is it's like you'll know them by their fruits. Sons grow up to be like their fathers, and it's not just because of training. A lot of it is genetic. So to throw out the term nature as if it has no effect at all, that defies history, logic, etc.
Reason. Try reason.
It does not defy logic or reason when you realize that the legal system and its language is opposed to reality. It's all lies. It's all fiction.
Well, the common law is not. The common law is a body of law, and it's not relegated to lies. Yep. It's based on nature, and nature's God. And those words are in our founding documents, Clint, and they're capitalized, for God's sakes.
The reason they are in our founding documents is because it recognizes man's unalienable rights. Men are acts of God, not persons. It never says a person has unalienable rights. Now, does
it? Man can be a person. They identify him as an individual in the statutes because it's
the maxim of law disagrees with you. You don't want to know the principles of law. You just want to put out you're defending your own. Your own opinion.
Opinion, Clint. It's absolute. People that have studied it for 40 years and put their whole life into it.
Yeah,
and it's gone by every legal milepost for 25 years. It is not
what you're saying, and I used to have the same opinion until I realized that the English language itself is designed as a language for illiteracy.
Okay, whatever. We got Sharon coming on from Connecticut. Sharon, you going to chime in here at the last per usual?
Well, yeah, I was going to say that the word legal is speaking only in pertaining to fiction.
Yes.
Legal.
But legal
and
is
if you're talking about lawful, God's law and lawful, those are the laws, you know, that are God-given and...
That's correct.
But legal is pertaining to the fiction.
That's correct. They have to recognize the natural person in their body of law because they exist. They call them individuals.
Again.
Status of individuals is group called the U.S. National. And no, Clint, I'm not just trying to feather my own nest. This is 100 years' conclusions of more than 100 years of research. Okay? And by the way, my teacher spent 15 and a half years in federal prison just for teaching the tax side of this stuff to get them off the street 22 years ago because they didn't want the truth getting out. And this information's been badgered since it came out 5 years ago over on Republic on Jeff Bennett's show. The Southern Poverty Law Center's been trying to squash this. No, they don't try and do things like that for information that's incorrect. They let incorrect information filter through the society and keep people dumbed down. Yeah, go ahead, Doug.
Well, the thing is see, we're involved in legal, lawful, scriptural situations. And unless we are equipped to use all three, okay, and that's where knowledge comes in. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Yes, it did primarily concern a lack of scriptural knowledge, but it's the attack is all three of these. And not just that, it's food knowledge, it's all this stuff, it's science. All of it.
And you have to
so are we supposed to just, I mean, I engage myself in trusting, which covers me in a lot of areas, but I also engage myself in studying law, studying food, studying medicine, the medical sciences, all this stuff, so that I can be equipped to fight against this entity. Okay, but person, if person only means through, you know, in other words, a son of something, then to use it as a singularly defined legal concept or lawful concept and say, well, it has no place, then you're... not being able to respond to these other areas where the word is being used against us. It just doesn't make sense.
It's not a term of nature is the point. It's not a term of nature. Okay? To answer your question earlier, Roger, you said, what does the state recognize, right? Well, it's right in the dictionary. It's called an act of God, an act occasioned exclusively by violence of nature without the interference of any human agency. A person cannot exist without human agency. It means a natural necessity proceeding from physical causes alone without the intervention of man. It is an act, event, happening, or occurrence, a disaster, an effect due to natural causes, an inevitable accident, a disaster, a natural and inevitable necessity, which implies entire exclusion of all human agency, which operates within interference or aid from man, and which results from natural agency. Now, if you're going to tell me that a person is an act of God, when we know that person is a term of legal, or I should say a term of...
I told you that I said in the statutes they use the word inhabitant. That's the word they're imputing into
whatever
what they're talking
word,
about.
Whatever word you use.
Individual.
They think that way, but
you got to have some way to interact in the system. You can't go off and live in the back 40 pumping your own water and killing your own food and not interact with these people.
What about
that's exactly
that?
What I'm saying. That you interact with them.
But
and their body of law covers both statuses of people.
So what you're saying then, Roger, is confirming what I'm saying. You're saying that you can't interact with these people unless you're in one of their persons.
There is a legal
right.
person called an individual. He gets his rights from God, and he gives his duties and owes them back to God. There's only been two countries in the entire history of the world that's had that status, Rome for the first 200 years and our country for almost the first 200 years.
And that's a wonderful romantic history. Roman in romantic is very important. Yeah, the victors make a great history for themselves and create themselves as the gods of freedom. Anybody who thinks they're they have freedom in the United States when the very definition of citizenship or national or whatever you want to call it means to be subjected to,
the
to be a subject of.
The national does not mean to be subject to. It means to be not subject to. We got a caller here from something community, California, and I don't know how to pronounce it.
Oh, man. All right. Well, you know, it's been real, man. I don't know what to tell you, Roger. You're one of the people apparently that we affectionately call gurus who will not ever separate from what they've written. This is why I'm so afraid to write anything in a substantive book. That's why I'm not releasing my book until I'm absolutely clear in what I say, and I know that what I'm saying is true. And the only way I know that is to go to self-evident, self-existent truth. The only truth there is, which is the truth of God, the truth of nature, the truth of creation. All this that we're talking about is complete lies that are confirmed and ratified to be quote-unquote truths. They're not the truth. They're lies confirmed to be fact. I'm sorry, but, man, I can't.
Well, by their fruits you'll know them, and
I guess
I'll say this, that you know, Jesus Christ, when he contended with the Pharisees and Sadducees, he let them speak, and you don't, and you interrupt, and you're not exemplifying what would be biblical.
I'm called here as a guest to speak, and all I've been is interrupted. Are you kidding?
Well, that's because all your...
This is badly ridiculous, man. This is the truth movement. This is the patriot movement. This is why we call it patriotards. It's ridiculous. You guys fall for this stuff. I'm sorry, Roger, but you're full of shit, man. I'm amazed.
Okay.
I'm out of here.
No problem. You are out of here. You can
and there's the accuser again. So now we know who this guy is.
And will probably not be back soon. Listen, the reason I'm not trying to be argumentative with the guy, but I've spent 5 years of my life on these broadcasts and about, 20 before that, studying this from people that spent a lot more years than I did studying it to come to conclusions that are based in legal fact. And for somebody to say there's not a person when the 14th Amendment says any person born or naturalized in the United States, and subject to the jurisdiction thereof. Well, that means there are some persons who are not subject to the jurisdiction thereof. And you can go back and drag out scripture and misinterpret anything you want to and bring any argument to the table. Show me where that isn't another person. Okay, and the word individual comes from that formula, R plus D equals R. It's very easy to understand where you get your rights and you know your associated correlative duties or the jurisdictional law that you get your laws from. Okay, and that person, if it's a natural person born of two other persons, is called an individual generally in the statutes because those are inseparable in one entity, and the word individual comes from the fact that those rights and duties are indivisible in that entity. So when somebody comes on here and tries to totally disrupt and say that these things that have been known for 2,000 years and practiced in all legal society and any civilized society are not correct, it's just I'm not going to have it on this show without at least confronting it and trying to make that differentiation for the students and the audience that I've gone to so much trouble to attempt to educate and that you people have gone to a lot of trouble to educate for yourselves. So that's the reason for this, and that's the reason I don't like getting other legal people on, because over 25 years my experience, they don't know the basics. And if you don't even know the basics of property or this person and personhood, you really don't know much of a conception to build on. So we'll call it a day there, guys. Thanks for your contribution. It was an interesting program. We'll be back tomorrow with Tom, probably discuss it and open up the phones and discuss it. So let's handle it that way. See you tomorrow from Western Argentina. Buenos tardes, hasta luego. And
Truth Frequency Radio is your number one source for news and information without the hate, hype, and fear. We are proud to bring you cutting-edge programs like The Kev Baker Show, The Freedom Link with Joe Joseph, Truth Frequency with Chris and Sherry Geo.
The Christopher Everard Show.
X-Square with Brooks Agnew.
Down the Rabbit Hole with Popeye.
Freaky Friday with the Woo Crew.
Waking Up the Masses with Robert Bruce.
Phoenix Rising Radio.
And dozens more.
Did you know you can listen from any computer, mobile device, or from any telephone by dialing 832-225-5308.
Or call into your favorite show toll free at 866-37-TRUTH.
Uncensored talk and news you won't hear in the mainstream media
24 hours a day.
Truth Frequency Radio. We are TFR. Your protection from deception.
Trump in Ohio, storm spinning. I'm Chaz Henry. Donald Trump is campaigning in Ohio today. Correspondent Phil Mattingly in that battleground state.
Northeast Ohio, a part of the state that completely identifies with the type of voter that Trump said he could bring to the party that Republicans hadn't been able to get before. Blue collar, former Democrats, that's who they're targeting today. And you will see a lot of that in the days and weeks ahead.
In New York City, they've canceled a tropical storm warning. Forecasters watching the storm Hermine spin out in the Atlantic, though, say there's still a chance it could regain energy and move back toward land.
This storm could, the eye of the center of the storm, could still come onshore somewhere in Rhode Island, maybe all the way down to Montauk. We'll have to see.
Meteorologist Chad Myers. President Obama has become the first sitting U.S. president to visit Laos. He arrived in the isolated, landlocked Southeast Asian nation late today. He'll spend 3 days there, meant to close a dark chapter in U.S. Laotian history. He's expected to acknowledge damage caused by U.S. bombing there during the Vietnam War. I'm Chaz Henry. U.S. and Russian negotiators say it's possible they may reach an agreement within the week on ways to work together to reduce violence in Syria. Correspondent Barbara Starr.
Why is it so important? Well, of course, the humanitarian disaster in Syria. If they can get a so-called cessation of hostilities, maybe you can get some humanitarian aid in, maybe some relief for the tens of thousands besieged in Syria.
In California, two corrections officers were shot this weekend. Correspondent Jim Roop tells us it happened in the lobby of a jail.
Convicted child rapist Vang Tong, out on parole after serving 16 years of a 19-year sentence, walked into the Fresno County Jail Saturday morning wanting to jump the line to get in to visit someone. When he was told he could not, he began to pace and act erratically. He was approached first by Officer Juanita Davila. Tong shot her, then shot Officer Tuamalama Scanlon as he ran toward Tong. Tong was subdued and the officers rushed to the hospital.
And in Minnesota, nurses are walking picket lines at five hospitals in a strike over health insurance and other issues. I'm Chaz Henry.
Broadcasting worldwide in complete defiance of the U.S. Patriot Act and the NDAA.
This is the Truth Frequency Radio Network.
And welcome to Real Politics. This is James Tracy. And, you know, on this program, particularly over the past several weeks, we've been looking at recent curious events, false flag events such as Orlando and Dallas, and discussing these with a variety of observers and commentators. And perhaps one of the best known analysts of deep events, who has a long experience and history with these, analyzing these in book form from an academic viewpoint, is Jim Fetzer. And he's our guest today. He's a former Marine Corps officer, probably needs no major introduction. He's published widely on the theoretical foundations of scientific knowledge, computer science, artificial intelligence, cognitive science, and a magna cum laude graduate of Princeton, who majored in philosophy, has a Ph.D. from Indiana University, and is McKnight Professor Emeritus at University of Minnesota, Duluth. Over 30 edited volumes, and he's coming out with new material as well, and we're going to discuss the new volumes coming out during this hour. Welcome, Jim.
Oh, welcome, James. A minor correction. I have authored, co-authored, edited, and co-edited books. My more recent have been collaborative edited issues. I have, when we add up what we're talking about today, I guess the most recent will be my 33rd book. But I have 7 authored books on scientific knowledge, artificial intelligence, cognitive science, Evolution and Mentality, then a couple of co-edited books, including a glossary on epistemology and the philosophy of science, a glossary on cognitive science, and a co-authored book on the death of Senator Paul Wellstone.
And, you know, that event, I was thinking about that in preparing for today's program. It's something that almost no one has delved into. And here's a figure that was really seminal in many ways, Paul Wellstone. And yet he went down in a plane crash in October of 2002.
Yeah, that's right. Actually, my office on the Duluth campus of the University of Minnesota is only 60 miles south of the crash site. And I became interested immediately and began publishing a series of what would turn out to be 10 articles in the alternative newspaper in Duluth before I collaborated with Don Foreros Jacobs in publishing American Assassination, The Strange Death of Senator Paul Wellstone, where I would even conduct additional research with John P. Costella, who has a PhD in electromagnetism, and whose research contributed to our analysis of how the plane was taken down by creating an electromagnetic field and drawing the plane into the kill zone, which then blew all the computerized components of the plane, including its communication system, its navigational equipment, even its stall warning alarm, and flipped the solenoids that controlled the pitch of the props to below idle. I mean, the plane was destined to crash. It looks like the pilots made an effort to find a relatively soft wood group of trees to crash. But even after the plane had landed and the wings which carry the fuel had broken off in the tail, the fuselage burned for 7 hours, James. There was no way they could contain it. They couldn't put it out. It appears that it was thoroughly prepped with magnesium, for example, to ensure that all of the components of the plane would be completely destroyed, so there would be no evidence of the popping of those computerized components. John and I would publish a subsequent article entitled "The NTSB Failed Wellstone," which Michael Rupert published in his From the Wilderness newsletter, and anyone can find online, "The NTSB Failed Wellstone." And one nice feature of the book is that of the article is that the editor added 4 reviews of the book American Assassination, including by those as familiar as David Gray Griffin, talking about the research that established in their judgment beyond any doubt that this was an assassination, not an accident.
And he was a figure in the U.S. Senate that would have stand opposed to the upcoming invasion of Iraq, which then proceeded in March of 2003.
Oh, absolutely. He gave a speech in the Senate opposing the war in Iraq, which he recognized might be the end of his career. Instead, the Minnesota citizens responded overwhelmingly positively, and his lead over Norm Coleman, who'd been the mayor of St. Paul and was really a mediocrity, simply grew and grew. He was 7 or 8 points ahead when the plane was taken down while he was flying from St. Paul to Eppalus, Virginia Airport for the funeral of a prominent Minnesota politician by the name of Ruka Vina. And would you believe that shortly before this happened, he was threatened by Dick Cheney